Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens. I'm Ronnie, and today we've got a very special, gorgeous, handsome, talented guest, Kempire. Hello, Kempire. How are you?
I'm well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. As you guys know, Ben is in Norway right now, tasting all of the jams and tin fish that Norway has. The best life. Wow. So we're doing this Atlanta recap. Gladly, you guys go check out Kempire. He is on tour this summer. It's Kempire After Dark, The Villain Era. You can check it out in Philly, July 10th, Atlanta, August 5th, DC, August 22nd, New York City, September 12th. You can go to Linktree/TheKempire to find tickets. Are you psyched to go on tour?
Usually preparing for a tour, I'm like, but once I'm there and I'm with the audience and the vibes are good, I'm great. But it's the preparation, like literally like the booking and all the, and then the preparation for the actual show.
What's on your rider when you go on tour?
I have none, please.
You got to have a rider. Come on.
You're not at that level yet.
Well, we don't really have, you know, we call it a rider, but it's M&M's and hummus. That's all we have. But you feel fancy being like, where's my M&M's? They're like, here it is. Oh. And sometimes we'll get like a 5-pounder. I didn't even know they had those.
I'm going to send a strongly worded letter come Monday.
All right. So what have you been doing? So you cover all sorts of, anyone who's new to Kempire, which I'm sure aren't many of you, go check out his YouTube channel. It's fantastic and keeps me up to date. Tell us what you have been up to. I know you've had a very busy Diddy life over there.
Yeah, I've been engulfed in the Diddy trial. And that was part of the reason why I haven't been traveling the last couple of weeks. Because normally for my birthday, I usually travel. But okay, I was like, Diddy's starting. I can't leave. So I've been giving like a summary every single day, both on the YouTube channel and the podcast of the Diddy trial. And just, I'm entrenched all day,
oh my God,
every day.
But, well, that's fitting that you feel like you can't leave because that's kind of the crux of the trial, eh? you're very method.
Exactly.
So that trial is disturbing as fuck. How are you doing that every day? How are you like taking care of your mental health while that's going on?
Well, you know, people might find that to be funny, but no, you really have to because it's
No, I'm not joking.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of interesting and just really traumatic things. Even if, no matter how you feel about whether or not the defense is doing their job or the prosecution is doing their job and proving the charges, it's more so just, he's admitting that he was a terrible or is a terrible person. He was a terrible person, at least to Cassie Ventura and some of the people that he worked with. But it's also really interesting, especially because, you know, I come from a background of working for a law firm for like 15 plus years and sort of seeing this different dynamic because I'm not an attorney. However, seeing it from this side of things and learning new things every day when it comes to how the prosecution's handling the case or the defense and seeing how witnesses are being questioned and how journalists are handling these stories. So it's been really educational, interesting, traumatic some days, covering some of the details of it, especially Cassie talking about this at the very, very beginning. and her bravery, 8.5 months pregnant, getting on the
stand. That is crazy, seeing an 8.5 month pregnant lady getting up on the stand and just, and I heard that they wanted her to go up before the jury came in so that they could, you know, not get the sympathy from the jury and all.
Yep.
I mean, come on. So what's his basic defense? That he was a horrible person, but it was within the law and everyone's just complaining?
Well, no, not within the law, within it being just domestic violence and not racketeering or S trafficking or anything like that.
Oh, okay.
So, but if you really pay attention, and I've been speaking with a lot of different attorneys, you see that the prosecution is little by little putting a puzzle together and putting the story together of, no, it's not just DV. He used his companies and his employees to fulfill his dark fantasies and abuses. So it's interesting. It's only 2 weeks in, and I think it's too soon to say whether or not he walks free. Either way, even if he does walk free, he has a lot of civil lawsuits that he's facing, too.
And yeah, he's going to be in it for a while.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know that you're getting really deep into it, because when we started this, I had to have you get a towel. You were starting with the baby oil, the lathering yourself. I was like, come on now. This is Watch Our Crap. You're at a different job today, sir.
Okay. Let me tell you something. After all of this coverage of the Diddy trial, I do not want to see a bottle of baby oil, Astroglide, or applesauce. I don't want to see any of that. Yes, he loves applesauce on everything.
Why has he got to come for applesauce, man?
I used to like applesauce. Never again.
Applesauce is dead to you. All right, let's get into this season of Real Housewives of Atlanta. So we haven't really, I don't think we've talked since this season has started. What are your overall thoughts of this reboot, it's not really a full reboot, but whatever.
It's quite a few new people. And when you think about it, I mean, Portia hasn't been there in a long time. Shamia was never full time. And now we have three new housewives. So it's subsequently a reboot.
Yeah,
it's not much. A New York City reboot, thankfully, because God, we saw what happened there. But it's been okay. It's had its ups and its downs. And I see the potential in some of the newbies, like a Kelly or an Angela Oakley. Britt, I'm not like a team twirl or anything like that. And it has nothing to do with that. I just feel like even this week's episode is just sort of like, oh, Britt, you're so boring. You can't even throw an event. And it's not even funny. You know, there's certain people that can't throw an event, because Kenya's been called out for not being able to throw an event or feed her guests. However, it's funny.
Well, especially now.
Well, damn. The thing is, they make it funny. And with Britt, it's not funny. There's nothing really interesting there. And so for me, she's sort of like the only one that's sort of like, okay, I could do without her. But it's been okay this season. It's been, you know how the kids say, mid.
Yeah. I'm trying to still figure Britt out, because she makes a lot of comments on the, which we'll get into, obviously, but she makes comments like,
well, back when my insurance company was launching, I wanted to launch Bare Naked.
I was like, really? Was that your first thought when you were launching an insurance company? Like, which is first? I hope I can get this shapewear and insurance out at the same time. But she went on to say what was she saying about that Bare Naked? She's like, I want to get my thing. Oh, yeah. But now that my insurance license is put on hold. So do you know any information on that? What is with that? Because it seems like it can't be on hold because her OnlyFans pictures were shown or whatever that was.
I think she was lying. I think she was being dramatic. I think she was using that as sort of her chess piece to stay on the show, because everyone has said, why did Kenya get fired and Britt Edie didn't, for the threats that we clearly saw on camera? And it was interesting that they even kept that in there, but I guess maybe legally they had to. But I don't believe Britt when she says that her insurance license was under investigation. We've had quite a few people call into my channel that are in insurance and have had experience or know people in insurance. And like, that doesn't make sense. We even had Angela Oakley say, that doesn't make sense off of a rumor. Mind you, this is a rumor that was on media takeout. This wasn't even everywhere yet. So for her to say that they were investigating her license, I don't believe her. I think
today she said it was suspended. I think today she said, now that my license is suspended, I'll get to it in my notes later. But I think she said, now that my license is suspended or on hold, or she said something like that. And I was like, well, what else did you do? Because there were rumors that it was, if it was suspended, it was because of shadier activities on her part.
Oh, without a doubt. It had nothing to do with Kenya calling her a hoe or showing old photos of her. Before you even get the license, they're doing a huge background check on you. So
yeah,
I don't believe it had anything to do with what Kenya said or did.
Yeah, because I feel like everybody, well, not everybody, a lot of people have an OnlyFans, I was going to say. That's always been my dreams. Yeah, I wish. Oh, my God, I wish. If I ever did a push-up in my life. I do. Yeah, I mean, why not? You know, it's not like they can see you, but I don't have to see them. So what do I care? I mean, I would do it if I had the if I had the gifts, I would do it.
But, okay, what are the gifts? Because anyone can do an OnlyFans.
You have to be masturbatable, too.
Everyone can be. Everyone has people that are interested in them. There's someone and something for everyone.
Well, not enough people to run an empire. You know what I mean?
Oh, you want an empire.
You need more than one. But yeah, one time I was at a gas station in Hollywood and there was some creepy guy on his balcony. I kind of looked up there and he was jerking, I'm sorry, this is so gross, but he was jerking off. You know, Hollywood's a crazy place. And I was like, huh. You know, I was just filling up my gas, like, huh. And then he saw me and he was jerking off at some lady pumping her gas. He was mortified, of course. And then he saw me just looking at him and then he covered up. And that's when I was like, you know what? I'm never going to be able to have an OnlyFans. I can't even get the meth head in Hollywood to jerk off to me. And he's already got his dick out.
Wow.
It was a rough day. So where do you stand on? So you said you really like Angela, too.
At first I was like, okay, because I'm not, some fans, they see someone, they say something really clever.
I got another. Exactly. Yes. I got, I died for her.
I literally died for her. New icon housewife.
No. And I feel like that's what they're doing with Angela. I like Angela though so far. I feel like Angela would have fit in with the Nene's and, you know, the Phaedra's back when. So I like the energy that she's bringing so far. But I do kind of see her being a producer's pet. I do see her being sort of like trying to stir the pot. But at this particular point, they need someone to stir the pot.
Yeah, she'll definitely do the work if they ask her. But she's got enough of her own messy life that I really love to watch. You know, I think it's so crazy, like trying to figure out. I mean, Charles, I think it's the classic husband that hates you on these shows that, you know what I mean? They've all every show has one that the husband's like, why am I here? Why are the cameras here? But he's like the grumpy husband.
Divorced?
Usually, but do you see that with them?
At first, because I know everyone was like, oh, I don't like the way he speaks to her or treats her. He hates her. At first, I was like, no, I don't see that. Especially when you in the Black community, there are plenty of people, men and husbands like Charles. However, I felt like last week's episode, when they asked him whether he loved her or not, I felt like, no, that's okay. This is cute. The little bitter and bickering between you, that's cute. But clearly she wanted him in this particular moment to show up and at least say, like, of course I love her. You know what I mean?
We
see that with Bronwyn and the Todd father. And I felt like he's grumpy and old too over there.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that. I was like, it works for them. But there comes a time when you need that person to show up. It's like, of course I love my person.
And at I know least a lot fake of, it.
Yeah. And everyone, when I said that last week, mind you, they must have missed all the other times. I was like, well, I get where he's coming from. He's just a grumpy old man. He loves her. But last week I was like, no, these are the moments where you need to step up and say, of course I love her. Like she shouldn't be begging. She's always uplifting him. Even in this week's episode, she's always highlighting his career. She's like, that is Charles Oakley. Take a drink every time she says that is NBA legend Charles Oakley. She's always hyping him up. And we just never see that from him. Even once.
Yeah. Well, she's $2 million in debt, though, too.
Well,
if that's coming from the marital funds, you know, he's like, God damn it. But no, I see what you're saying. And I actually agree with you. And then this week, I actually was back Team Charles because I thought it was romantic that he went to that stupid country club event. The only reason he went to that was because, you know, she had a moment after the last one where she's like, okay, like, I get that you're kidding, but it really hurts my fifis when you're not, you know, like, enough. Like, these people are going to think that you hate me, you know? So he's like, okay, what do you want me to do? Come to this event. Show me your love. And then he ends up across from Brit at this event. So she's never going to get that again.
No. And people have said, you know, at least of all the husbands that are currently on this show, he's actually showing up. He's actually being a partner and standing by her. That's all well and good, but I do need him when it really counts. You're in a confessional. They ask if you love her. You can make a joke. I'm okay with you making a joke. However, at least round it out and say, like, of course I love her.
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah. I even need something, Charles. Even with her torn paper blinds that she has in the remodels.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Angela, no. Angela, no. Okay, so we open this episode. Wait, who did we miss there? Kelly out of the newbies.
Oh, yeah.
Which I guess like we Kelly. Can get
she's
into
just
here.
I think she would like. I like Kelly for the show, but in real life, I would not want to be around Kelly.
Kelly's too like a little too much. I'm glad to hear you say that because for me, she's a little too much. She's very like, hi! Yes. Like everywhere she goes, it's this like, hi! Yes. Like this one, she comes in dancing yes. and they're like, hey, bestie, giggling. Hey, bestie. Yes. And her and Shamia are kind of dancing around. And actually with Shamia too, I mean, not the loud part, but just the kind of overcompensating. I'm not really sure what it is. But in the past couple episodes, I've been a little like, all right. All right, Shamia, reel it in. Yeah. Reel it in, Shamia.
I've been saying that about Shamia since episode one. I just feel like she's pretending to know what a housewife is supposed to be. And I think that's part of the reason why people have called her Portia's pet, a lap dog and things like that, because I don't think she knows how to be the star. I think she's pretending. And I definitely think that she has the potential to be a great personality. It would be interesting to see maybe next season if her and Portia aren't, you know, friends, if we will be able to see that.
Yeah, I think sometimes people are okay being, I think they're better in certain roles. Like, I think it's okay for her to be in a supporting role. I don't mean she always has to be a friend of, because this Shamia, I don't even remember from the other seasons. I mean, I remember Shamia being on. Of course, I've watched every episode, but I don't remember her being anything like this. So I was like, where'd this version come from?
Yeah. I think production were in all of their ears. There were some, especially in this week's episode, I felt like production was in their ear in regards to like, okay, this is where we need to go. That's why we're getting Phaedra at the end of the season. We're on episode 12 and we're getting Phaedra at this very last hour, a full-time housewife. And I have to say that scene with Portia and Phaedra felt so produced. And it was just like, okay, let's see how the rest of this season goes when it comes to Phaedra and what she will potentially add.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
At 24, I lost my narrative, or rather it was stolen from me. And the Monica Lewinsky that my friends and family knew was usurped by false narratives, callous jokes, and politics. I would define reclaiming as to take back what was yours. Something you possess is lost or stolen, and ultimately you triumph in finding it again. So I think listeners can expect me to be chatting with folks, both recognizable and unrecognizable names, about the way that people have navigated roads to triumph. My hope is that people will finish an episode of Reclaiming and feel like they filled their tank up. They connected with the people that I'm talking to and leave with maybe some nuggets that help them feel a little more hopeful. Follow Reclaiming with Monica Lewinsky on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Reclaiming early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Every successful business starts with an idea. And on the best idea yet, we're obsessed with those light bulb moments. Like how a bored barista invented the Frappuccino during his downtime, and then it got acquired by Starbucks. Or how Patagonia's iconic fleece was inspired by a toilet seat cover. On the best idea yet, we dive into the untold origin stories behind the products you're obsessed with and the bold risk takers who made them go viral. These are the wild ideas and insights that made Birkenstock the best-selling sandals since Jesus. And made Super Mario the most played video game in the history of attention spans.
Yeah, Nintendo almost became a ramen company until Super Mario saved it.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Follow the best idea yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And if this podcast lasts longer than 45 minutes, call your doctor.
I have to say, I'm going to diverge a little bit there because I was like, oh my God, the show came alive. And I don't know if it's because I'm just used to look, Phaedra and Portia, what they did was so bad. And I feel like every recap for the rest of my goddamn life, even if it's Beverly Hills, I've got to be like, guys, I know what Phaedra did was bad. Okay, let's move over to this scene with Kyle and Faye. But I know that was wrong. There's no excusing that. I wouldn't even try.
Yeah.
But I still like, still think she's funny. And I feel like she came back this time and she's ready to fuck shit up, too. Mm-hmm. She didn't come back this time pretending to be nice.
Well, she knew she had to. She knew she had to.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going to take them all down. And especially after the Married to Medicine stint.
Yeah.
She didn't seem very happy with that one.
And it was lackluster. Her stint there wasn't, it didn't really bring much of anything. That's why I'm sort of on the fence of her coming here. I thought she was brilliant on Traitors, but on Traitors, you don't have to share your life. You don't have to have some sort of storyline. You can just be funny, witty, and play a game. But I felt like on Married to Medicine, it was sort of performative. And look, she's been performing for us since she showed up how many seasons ago on Real Housewives of Atlanta. So I feel like even in this one, we're going to get this fake phony relationship that she had on Married to Medicine with Jake. Like, come on, at least make her a friend of. Don't make her full time where there is that pressure to actually have some sort of storyline, because that's what it's going to feel like. She's pretending this entire time. And we found out this last week that Portia is pretending. If we want to get the real Portia, Bravo has to pay her more.
What do you think that meant when Shamia said, because you're referring to Shamia saying, when we were together last, I said, I wish we could be like this every time we're together. And you said, Bravo doesn't pay me enough for that. What do you think that meant?
I think it just confirmed for us, for some of us that have already believed that Portia is not that honest. We have quite a few liars this season on Real Housewives of Atlanta.
And Portia too, this whole time. Like, I just can't believe, you know, you think you're going to spend your life with someone. I was like, Portia, you were with that man for 7 minutes. I could bake a potato in the microwave in the amount of time you were with that man.
Yeah.
I think that's 8 minutes. Well, damn it, I'm getting my potato microwave.
Get it right, Ryan. Get it right.
I really fucked that one up.
Now people are going to try and make one, and now it's all messed up. I'm like, Ronnie told me it was 7 minutes, and it's actually longer. The thing is a little hard.
It's fucking up people's potato lives.
Love a good potato.
But yeah, I didn't know what that meant. I was like, was she being mean about somebody off camera? Were you guys just like laughing? Like, were you stoned?
You know what I mean? Shamia is the one, her closest ally, her friend, her real friend outside of the show, said that on camera, told us exactly who Portia is. And the real Portia, we have not seen. Maybe her first season, but we have not seen the real Portia. But I felt
I think I've just met so many housewives that I'm just like, they're all like that. I don't think I've met one that is not just like they are on TV. Because even if you're talking to them on the phone or something, they're still like that. They're still obsessing over what this lady said about them. It could be 10 years ago and they're still like, that's their thing, you know? So I just can't imagine that Portia is like, what is she like sitting down and reading like a really long book? I mean, I just don't see what, you know what I mean? Like, what would be so different about Portia that would be so fake? I don't know. I couldn't figure it out.
I mean, maybe there, again, this is her best friend saying that on camera, which says to me, what really is the...
But that was her really best friend who was ready to rip shit up and not be best friends in that scene, too. Yeah. Don't you feel like Shamia was kind of coming at that as like, okay, here's our housewives breakup.
Well, when you look at when you look at the amount of years that Shamia has rode for Portia and really has been her support, I wouldn't blame her that in this 20th year, she's finally woken up and said, oh, you're not really enough. My friend.
Enough. I've had Jennifer Lopez movie. Enough. Not enough. Okay, so sorry. We're going back to the first scene here. So we get the Shamia and Kelly dancing around like, hey, best friend. Hey, best friend.
Working.
And yeah, I don't buy it. But Shamia was saying, yeah, you know, I just coined myself on saying, hey, best friend, because, you know, you never know where you're going to meet a best friend. And Kelly's really opened up to me. You know, she's going to show all those layers. She's always going to have her titties out. And then sure enough, Kelly is like bouncing her boobs up and down. And then there was a lot of yelling and jumping around.
Yeah. And planning a trip. They're going to Grenada. Not the Maldives.
Or Brazil. Or Disneyland.
I thought that went on a little too long. I was like, okay, can we just get to it? Just let her know we're going to Grenada. Why are we going down the list of countries right now?
Yeah, when she said we're going to the Caribbean and then made her guess, and poor Shamia was like, I'm too rich to guess. I mean, she should have just said that. I'm too rich to guess, okay? Other people point on maps, okay? I don't need a map. But she tried to guess. I didn't know any of those places either. I didn't know where any of them were. Did you? I'm really stupid.
It's okay. It's not that you're stupid. You just have to start traveling to those places.
I still don't think I would know. I went to Italy last year. I wouldn't be able to pick it out on a map. I wouldn't know. I'm not proud of it. I'm just saying, you know, I felt for her in that moment. But then when they find out where they're going to go, Shimmy is like, oh, my God, they were just affected by a hurricane. We should be providing some aid and relief while she's wearing her. They called the aid and relief guy with her like DJ or DG hat or something. I forget what hat it was.
I was like, yes. Gucci.
Yes, I love passing out aid and relief in my Balenciaga. So that sounds fun. And so they're going to do a group trip. So the noobs are doing the group trip. Are you excited?
No. but I'm hopeful because usually this is what will save a season. And based on what Cynthia Bailey has said in recent interviews, this trip has a lot of dynamic shifts when it comes to friendships. People that weren't friends before are friends. People that were friends are not friends. So, and also, I wonder if this is where we see the breakdown of Portia and Shamia's friendship again.
Again, and also Kelly and Britt, right? Because they break up at some point this season.
Yeah, but we don't care about that. We're not that invested in that
Kelly
friendship.
I want to know what turns Kelly to that point, because Kelly has been writing pretty hard for that one, too. And that can't be the easiest to fight for.
I already believe it's Britt's fault, because the way that Kelly has 100%. Been so supportive of Britt more than anyone, and for that to be the one that you've fallen out with, it's like, I bet it was your fault.
Yeah, Britt hasn't showed a lot of loyalty so far to whoever is her friend. She'll turn on you for a scene, and they're not even that good.
No.
No, which is the shame. So then we go Portia house hunting with Miss Diane and Lauren and some other girl. I don't know who it was, so I didn't write it
down. Oh, the real estate agent.
Oh, no, that was a guy.
Was it
a co-list?
It was the listing agent, and then it was Portia's real estate agent.
Oh, I see.
Because I wrote down the real estate. Who's what? How much is this place? And I love property, so I really love this scene.
This was a good property.
Yeah.
This was a good one, right? I feel like a lot of the houses we see on Housewives are over the top, like mansion-y. And this one was good. I thought this one was good.
Yeah.
And there's also a wig room. 4.2.
Yeah.
God damn. In Atlanta.
Yeah.
That's a lot of money. So they go check out this house. And of course, the doofy real estate guy's like, oh, wig room. I could use one of them wigs. Like, please leave, sir.
He just wants to buy it.
Your scene is done here, sir. So they start talking about her relationship with Simon and how she really thought this was a forever one, guys. What'd you feel when you first saw the Simon and Portia relationship?
To this day, I don't believe it. I've said countless times, even if they were having sex in front of me, I sound like, I don't believe it. You would do anything for a storyline. I don't believe it. To this day, I say, how are you attracted to Simon, Portia? But maybe she was attracted to the lifestyle. Everyone gets married for different reasons. And I think she really wanted a lifestyle. Like, she's even almost this season convincing me that she is interested in Simon sexually. But, oh God, even the... I'm going to throw up a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. But my tolerance has been lowered because I've been watching Love Hotel.
Oh. Oh, God.
I can imagine a lot grosser things. Have you been watching that one?
Here and there. I haven't seen the last two episodes. But
Ashley's picker is something else. She just got this hot young guy. And she's like, but I really want the old white guy. I was like, that man is five steps away from pooping his pants. That guy has 5 months left.
Mind you, literally, she's with Josh Harlow now filming. So I feel like, I think that's my problem with Love Hotel. Yes. I feel like all of them are there except Shannon are there just for the check and for the moment to be on television. I don't think any of them are interested in these guys like that. Maybe Luann. Luann just wants to screw them all.
Yeah. Luann will fuck them all.
Yeah. I'm fine with that. She's actually very interesting on it.
Luann this week's like, so why haven't you made out with me yet? What's your problem? They brought you back. You got kicked off because you never made out with me. What about that? And he's like, really? She goes, all right, so I'm here right now. What are you going to do? He's like, really? She goes, oh God, I'm going to the bathroom. This guy won't even make out with me. And just leaves the guy. Luann stands on business.
She's the best part of that show. And I have to say, I enjoy Giselle's commentary, but Giselle's not really there to find love.
Giselle's not on this earth to find love. Some of us just weren't put here for that. Giselle is here. Giselle was put on this earth to judge your love. I'm a Virgo, so I'm speaking as a...
She went on her Virgo.
Yes. I've never understood Giselle better than this season.
You Virgos.
Or myself.
I didn't get Virgo from you.
Really?
No.
Love Hotel's giving me so much.
Really?
Yeah, it really is. I'm like, wow, Giselle just read
me. It's a nice easy watch. I will say that. I don't hate it, but it's a nice easy watch. I do think that casting Ashley with these group of women feels a little awkward. I know she likes an older man, but it feels like Ashley shouldn't be on this cast. They could have used someone else.
Yeah, I think Ashley's pretty cute on the show for sure, but she's Ashley. You know, she's just going to make wrong decision. And then she keeps saying things like, well, you know, I like a daddy. And then they'll put a side by side of old man Ralph next to the Gollum Michael. And it's like, oh, no.
Gosh.
No, Ashley, no, don't do it. Doesn't Beavis have a job? The guy she's dating now.
Yeah.
Okay, so they go look at a house and Portia goes on about her and Simon and she just can't believe it. But she's more set up this time than she was with Cordell. And then we see her relationship with Cordell, at least from her end, where she's like, I can't believe Cordell really let me come on this trip. I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of him for letting me come. Whatever happened with Cordell?
He's still around, around town.
Did he remarry? Or
I don't think so. I don't know.
I need an update on Cordell.
I don't think he's remarried.
What's his last name?
Stewart? Cordell Stewart. I interviewed Portia years ago when she was still Portia Stewart and likable.
You don't like Portia now?
No, I like Portia. She blocked me, so we're beefing right now.
She blocked you?
And unblocked me.
What'd you say? You're so sweet.
I don't know. I don't know what I said. She doesn't like to be held accountable.
Oh, yeah. Well, they don't listen to this, so that's good. Most of them don't. So we're too long for people to listen to, so we don't get blocked as much as we should, for sure. Cordell co-hosts the daily program No Huddle on TuneIn with Brian Weber. Okay, I'm going to put Cordell Stewart, wife. Let's see. Portia Williams, last wife.
Wow. Damn.
So Portia ruined that man for other women. She was just too good. She cooked too well because she's like, I told him I would cook for him. And the flashbacks.
I'm actually surprised he didn't get remarried. You're right. It's been so long.
Yeah.
And I think Portia will get married again after she divorces Simon.
Yeah. So she says she's taking care of herself now, which I think means she's got some money coming to her through this guy because they're like, well, you know, Portia, even though you might not need this house, it's still good to look.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, but I got myself set up better. How much could you have set yourself up with if you're only with somebody for a couple of years? People have it so easy.
Well, she did. You know what? I will agree with her in this episode. She was smarter this time around because and this is why Simon's trying to fight the prenup. Based off her prenup, she's got some cash coming to her and half of the equity of this $7 million home. So she did do the right thing in regards to setting herself up when it comes to Simon, but he's fighting it. Now he's detained by ICE.
Yeah, now he's detained. And then wasn't that house in foreclosure or something? She mentioned that the house was in foreclosure. So how much equity is in there?
Mm-hmm. That's the part I was wondering. I was like, okay, so how much money are you going to actually get? But at least she won't be... Because remember, she never sold her other house. The house that she moved in after Cordell.
Oh, she didn't sell that place?
She gave it to her mom. So that's where they
missed Miss Diane.
Yeah, so...
God, no wonder Miss Diane's always so happy.
Mm-hmm.
God damn. Miss Diane is.
Always happy with a pepperoni pizza.
Oh my God. He's like, that woman ate a pepperoni pizza in my bed. Was it in his bed or her ears couch?
Somewhere. Or something that was white. And he was just like, you're going to get grease on my floor.
The pepperoni pizza that broke him.
I need to know what happened between Miss Diane and Shamia's mother, Mama Warren.
I read some stuff on Reddit. You want me to tell you
some rumors
about gossip?
Like daycare drama. But everyone in my community says, no, they think it's a man. I was like, y'all just want the mess. It might be just about business. It's not about
everybody wants it to be a man, you know? I find that's like every argument. It's like, she's jealous of his man. You know what? I would be more jealous of the money. So apparently you've heard this, but for whoever hasn't heard this, by the way, this is not news. I just read it on Reddit. So who knows if it's true? But apparently, they both were daycare owners, and they were both friends with each other, And then Miss Diane had a problem with one of her daycares where she couldn't pay for it or something, financial trouble.
The pandemic.
Yeah. And so she said, well, they're probably going to foreclose. I just hope that whoever gets this won't turn this into a daycare because it's going to compete with my other daycares. Mm. And then sure enough, they foreclosed and she bought it. She went, the Shamia's mom went and bought it and turned it into a daycare. Chun, chun, chun.
I hope that we get the truth in regards. I hope Andy and when they go to the reunion, because Shamia, when they brought it up, Shamia refused to talk about it. But if that's true, let's say it is true, whose side are you on based off of that? If that is the fact, that's what Shamia's mom did.
Well, I mean, it's legal to go by the... It's, you know,
that's your best friend.
Well, yeah, it's legal, but yeah, you shouldn't do that to your best friend. Didn't Shamia buy Kim Zolciak's foreclosed on house? I mean, I know they're not friends. I would assume they're not friends.
No,
but wasn't that friends. The rumor that Shamia's husband bought Kim Zolciak's house?
This current house?
The one that foreclosed on.
Oh, I don't know.
By Kim Zolciak.
I mean, God, if you're trying to buy property, they're not close. So if you're buying property and it's like you're getting a good deal, I mean, it's actually good, smart sense because they got a steal if he bought it.
Oh, okay. Well, no, it's not confirmed whether Shamia actually bought Kim Zolciak's house. While there was a rumor circulating on Instagram that her husband, Gerald, bought Kim's auction house for 2.7, an Instagram post suggests this is not confirmed.
Nothing tonight is confirmed.
Nothing. This Nothing. Is a non-news show.
Okay? Yes.
This is okay, a show if you just don't give a crap about the truth. Just come. We'll help.
Rumors, mess.
Yes, rumors and mess.
We're going to believe it's true. She bought the house and she kicked them out.
Wouldn't that be amazing, though?
I would love
it. Now that I could get behind. But a daycare, that's a hard job anyway. Get rid of all those rats. Like buy a nail salon or something.
Oh my gosh. Oh, Lord. I have a story about, and it's so funny that you brought up nail salon and rats, because literally a nail salon that I go to here in New York City for years, I won't be going anymore because literally my last experience of getting a manicure pedicure, luckily I was almost completely done. And I hear my guy, because he's giving me like a massage at the end, and he makes a funny sound. I was like, did he hurt himself on my back? What's going on right now?
Hey, wow, those push-ups have really been working.
Yeah, I was like, what's going on? And then I open my eyes, and there's a big old rat running around this nail salon.
Oh, well, you just need to watch Ratatouille. Suddenly, they're very cute.
No, this is the first time I've even talking about this story. But as soon as you said nail salon and rat, I said, trauma.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Every big moment starts with a big dream. But what happens when that big dream turns out to be a big flop? From Wondery and At Will Media, I'm Misha Brown, and this is The Big Flop. Every week, comedians join me to chronicle the biggest flubs, fails, and blunders of all time, like Quibi.
It's kind of like when you give yourself your own nickname and you try to, like, get other people to do it.
And the 2019 movie adaptation of Cats.
Like, if I'm watching the dancing and I'm noticing the feet aren't touching the ground, there's something wrong with the movie.
Find out what happens when massive hype turns into major fiasco. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
But you got the massage finished, didn't you?
Of course.
Yeah, that's a New Yorker right New York. There. You're like, this is disgusting, and you will finish my massage.
Sorry. We were like 2 minutes. We were almost done.
Those rats are getting bigger in the city, I swear. Ever since I moved away from there, every time I go back and see a rat, they're like little dogs now.
Yeah, no, they're big. That's like they're, it was big, too.
They're big enough for Kelly to be dazzled. Okay, so let's go. Speaking of. Kelly is getting her little rat dog. It's not a rat dog. That's not nice to say. She has a cute dog.
It's true, though. No, it's not.
Well, it could be. It, you know, it's like nature versus nurture. She's done this to that dog.
The dog was cute before because you saw the old pictures. The dog was cute before. She made that dog look mangy.
That dog does look kind of mangy.
It's almost abusive.
It looks like it's got clumps. It should be abusive because, like, what if it gets too close to an electrical outlet or something? You know, like dogs rub their butts on the
everything,
you know, the wall or whatever. Like, what if it's scratching its butt and it gets electrocuted on one of those little bedazzled things on it?
You can't see the eyelashes gets in its eye.
Yeah. And the hairdresser for the dog, the dog's hairdresser. Well, the facial massage yes. therapist for the dog. Girl, don't you go pay your rent. Go pay your waffle rent.
Do you know she's thrown like 5 events already this season?
Like she has? Events.
Yeah. She's that's the one thing I have to appreciate about it. Like, she's very festive. She's very lively. I think she has potential. But I do think there's something a little funny when it comes to, like, okay, like, where's this money coming from? And it can't be the waffles.
Yeah, she's not paying the waffle rent. Well, she was saying earlier that she had to pay her lawyers $100. Yeah. Well, was it her lawyer? Who's Bobby? Is that her lawyer? Or is what's her ex's
husband's
name?
Name's Mark.
Oh, okay. Because she said I had to pay Bobby $150,000. And I was like, yeah, who has lawyer. To pay their? Okay, so it was her lawyer.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does throw a lot of events, but she also does a lot to that dog. So I'm not really sure how I feel. She said it was all like vegan and cruelty free, but I'm
it
not like
ugly,
a big
though. Oh, damn. I feel bad.
It's just a poor dog. Yeah, yeah. Poor dog. And also it has to stand on that mat all the time. Like it can't go into the grass.
And my thing is, she said the reason was because they try to steal the dog. Then chip the dog.
Yeah. Chip the dog. Don't make it so ugly that no one will steal it. What are you doing?
Okay. It doesn't make any sense.
So then we go. Oh, and so, yeah, the face technician messed up the dog's eyelashes. He's like, well, one of them's missing. They're repositioned, he said. So fired. So then
he
we go on.
Did that it's for free. So.
Oh, you think he threw in the dog face massage for free?
I think the dog was just there. I don't think that was a part of the services. Do they provide services like that at the same place you get your massage?
I don't know. I'm in LA. And weren't they, maybe it was like a traveling service or something. There were like 3 people there. That's a lot of people to service you anyway.
Yeah. Mm. Okay.
Sorry, I have a shoulder. We're talking about massages. Really we're right. talking about the bedazzle.
Looking at the mangy dog. You're going to itch. I understand.
All right. So now we go to Shamia going onto the radio. Shamia comes twerking into the radio.
Always.
And she's like, yeah. So, oh my God, guys, to be here now. As an artist, it's amazing. And Big Tigger is like, yeah, well, another housewife came in here with her single. And then Shamia spends the rest of what we see of this interview dissing on Drew.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, there was drama between Big Tigger and Shamia at one particular point. At least that's what the streets were saying, because Shamia used to be on that same radio station. They were supposed to have like this whole radio show. And there was drama when they decided to get rid of Shamia, and I believe it was Miss Pat at the time. I could be making this up, but I'm pretty sure.
Shamia Morton and Miss Pat, a.k.a. Shamia, were both hosts on V103.
Okay. So I'm not making this up. So I thought it was interesting to see that dynamic between Big Tigger and Shamia, because the word on the street is that he was the one that got them fired. But anyway,
oh, it says they were part of the morning show for 2 years before being replaced by Jazzy McBee. Miss Pat and Shamia were reportedly fired, which they claim was unexpected and due to jealousy and male ego.
See, look at you. Hey, this is real journalism right here.
this is some Barbara Walters shit.
Yes.
Right
yes.
Big Tigger, RIP. Big Tigger seemingly responded by highlighting improved ratings since Jazzy McBee joined the show. Oh, wow. So Shamia went in there and had to deal with Jazzy McBee.
Yep.
And him at the same time.
Your replacement.
Hmm. Well, so she went in and she started going off on Drew and saying, you know, I've never heard that song on this station. I've never heard somebody like me on this station. And then she sings a parody of the song. You've never had boobs like me.
I get it because there's that scene that they keep showing the last couple of episodes where Kelly and Drew and Angela are talking about Shamia being a lap dog. But this is not the first time this season that Shamia has made some digs about Drew singing. And I'm just like, if Drew was like a Luann, Countess Luann, then I'd be like, okay, I get it. But Drew can sing.
Drew's album pretty good. Drew's decent. Her album did well.
Yeah, it's a good project. I just don't get the constant digs from Shamia. It's giving press. It's giving jealous. I'm like, why? I think Shamia is also really talented and sounds good. But
well, her best song so far has been The Itsy Bitsy Spider.
She did that country parody for the Nashville trip.
Yeah. Has her music come out?
Well, she has a single out, Never Had. You know, she sings it every time she can on the show.
Okay. So it came out. How did it do?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of times these Housewives singles don't necessarily do tremendously well.
Well, that's why I was kind of curious. Not curious, but I was kind of surprised that she was going so hard for Drew on a radio show. Because, like, I get that that's, if you're a real housewife, right? So you're supposed to go on there and be shady or whatever. Yes. Everybody does that. So that was nothing crazy. But the fact that you're there to talk about your art and to start with I'm an artist and then go into Housewives so fast, I thought wasn't a good move.
No.
Musically.
It feels desperate. It feels desperate. Let me do whatever I can do to promote this music. But she's always wanted to be an artist and she's very talented. But what I've discovered over this last season is that I understand now exactly why Shamia never made it as a solo artist or in that group. And she just doesn't, in I think because she's sort of played the side position for so long, she doesn't give star. Even though when she first came on episode one, everyone was like, oh, she's the glue. She should have. And now everyone's shifted.
I feel like right now you're Simon Cowell on the season when Melinda Doolittle was on. Is that her name? Was on American Idol. Yes. And she was like a famous backup singer. And he's like, I'm sorry, but back to the tambourine. He'd be like, you're not holding a tambourine right now, Ms. Doolittle. This is a spotlight on you.
You really think it's only people of a particular age remember Melinda Doolittle, that season of American Idol. You're really taking us back. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember Melinda. Where is Melinda?
I think it was Melinda Doolittle.
No, you're right. I think that's the name. Yeah. That is definitely the name. As soon as you said it,
I always felt so bad for her because she would come out and sing her ass off and just be amazing. And they'd be like, nope.
And she was such a
back to the chorus, loser. Simon, because that was back when American Idol was mean. Now they're really nice on American Idol.
Yeah,
they're like, oh my God, let's talk about your trauma. And then they have 5 minutes. They're like, well, I was run over by a dog on a train. And I discovered my passion for singing when I was in a box in front of a Ralph's. I'm like, oh, for Christ's sake, sing your song. This is back when
they had their first black male winner. I was like, really?
That's crazy. Is that true?
Well, no. Didn't Ruben win? Ruben Stutter
won. He was second.
Won.
Clay Aiken won. Oh, wait. No.
Did Ruben? No one knows that season. Wasn't it Ruben that won?
Ruben stuttered.
So where were you?
American Idol.
No facts here, y'all. No facts.
I told you, don't ever come here for facts. Ruben won. He did win. Clay Aiken came in second.
He was like the first male performer to win, black male performer to win. Maybe this new era of American Idol? That's what they were referring to? Because immediately I thought to myself, wait, but no, Ruben Studdard won.
Yeah, Ruben Studdard was the first. Jamal Roberts becomes the second black man to win American Idol, MSN. So yeah, maybe it's like the Katy Perry
era.
Decade.
Yeah,
okay. The Katy Perry era of Am-I'd, as no one calls it. Okay, so Shamia does her radio thing, and she's like, I sing about authentic things that happen in my life. Ear infections. This is about my trip to the doctor about an ear. No, she's talking about how Drew's fake, and I guess she has a lyric. When someone says, I got 5 languages I can speak, you don't speak 5 languages. I'm authentic.
I remember when she said that in... I guess when she did the interview, it was all around town. So it was sort of promoting the new season before the new season even happened. Like, oh, what happened between Drew and Shamia? But I felt like, again, I get it. At this particular point, she's mad about being called a lap dog. But don't come for Drew's music, because it'd be understandable if Drew's music and her voice were bad. Then it would land. It's just giving desperate. It's definitely giving lap dog.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I think that what bugs me about it, because here's what's bugging me about Shamia in general, is Shamia doesn't bug me. Like, I like Shamia, so I'm rooting for Shamia. So when she came on, I was like, yeah, Shamia, and she was so funny, and she has this huge house, and she's rich as hell. And so when she stoops low, when she's talking about music and stoops low and doesn't concentrate on her music, it's not defending Drew. I'm just like, you need to be better this you need to be better than this for yourself. You know what I mean? It's not that I care about Drew's lying ass, because I really like Drew on the show, but everyone's obviously right about what they're saying about Drew.
He lies a lot.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, she definitely lies a lot, but we have a lot of liars this season again. on this show. A lot of liars. But a lot of people compare what Drew lies about versus what Mia Thornton might lie about to be two different things. And I agree. She lies about the simplest, funniest things. But I have to say, outside of her marriage storyline, I've actually enjoyed Drew this season.
I think part of Drew's charm is that she's a liar and she's completely delusional. I think that's what's funny about her in a way. Whereas Mia just went crazy with that. And she's still trying so hard to get on Atlanta too, which is so embarrassing. God. I'm so embarrassed for her because they're not going to do it, right?
I don't think so. And I think I think she just came out. Maybe apparently they're talking about her during the filming of Real Housewives of Potomac. And she had to put out that statement. I was like, okay, Mia, no one cares. Go somewhere and stay there quiet for a hot second.
She can't do it.
And
she's like hashtagging things RHOA. She's like,
maybe I'll see you in Atlanta.
I'm like, no, you're not going to see them in Atlanta. Stop acting like that. And please make your Instagram post shorter. She's like Bronwyn from Salt Lake City. I don't have 10 minutes to read your tiny print on your picture, ma'am.
And the funny thing is that luckily for Mia, the network will never come out and say we did not renew her contract. She was fired. They will never come out and say that. So these housewives can go on social media and pretend like they could potentially be on another show within the network when clearly the network's like, yeah, we're not working with Mia ever again.
Yeah, no. Let's be Mia. Honest. She burned so brightly and so fast.
Yeah.
She's a candle in the wind.
That's a perfect way of describing Mia. Because there was a point where Mia was actually interesting and fun, and she was a great addition, and then it just went left really quickly. And I think
whole Ink and her husband story was
and using your kids like that. No.
Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a 2-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
She can run my country. It's Angie McGovern.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
She's not just a Sheila. She's a Daniela. Itchels.
We never miss her call. It's Diane Call.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets a name from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kissarino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
It's our queen, it's Queen Laifa.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Know your worth with Jason Kurth.
Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony, Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She gets an A, it's Kelly B.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
We're on the floor with Molly Dorsett.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
It's always a good time when you're wasting time with Bravo.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.